702
on 92.7 and 106 FM.
Streaming on 702.co.za.
The 702 app.
And on DSTV channel 856.
Good morning, Professor.
Good morning. I can hear you loud and clear.
A very warm welcome. I met you a couple of months ago at the University of Pretoria. We had a fascinating chat about lightning and what it is that you find when somebody is struck by lightning and how we can avoid that. So we'll get onto that a little bit later on. But first, tell us about your book, Autopsy, and why you felt the need to write it.
Thanks for that. I wrote Autopsy because there's been so many frequently asked questions about our field. So I thought I'd compile all the answers in a book, and it's pitched for everyone, and it's written in a very engaging manner. And because, you know, when people meet a forensic pathologist, there's hundreds of questions. So I thought I'd compile everything in a book, and just 242 pages, I think most of the questions are answered.
Yeah. Mandy Wiener, she's my colleague, and she said she devoured your book. She inhaled it. She said it was fantastic. So tell us a little bit about, I mean, it's an intriguing thing, a job that you do, looking at people's bodies, you know, for a start, dead bodies. What can bodies and clothing in particular tell us?
Right. So the term is the pathology of clothing, actually. I've coined that term.
Mm.
Because, you know, forensic pathologists have to notice the smallest of things. Now, noticing is very different to observation. Like observation, you know, people observe things, whereas noticing is a more active, it's a more active form of observation. So, and the pathology of clothing, you know, when people wake up in the morning, they dress, they don't pay, well, I mean, they could pay much attention to what they wear. And then if, you know, God forbid they die, you know, I get them at my mortuary on my autopsy table. And I mean, the first clues are on the clothing, on the all the good stuff's on the outside of the body.
Mm.
And I mean, you know, when the person lies there, you know, what type of clothing, you know, is there scuff marks? Is there tears? And I mean, like if you look at ATM bombers, for example, do you know how we catch ATM bombers? We catch them off the turnips on the bottom of trousers. So at the bottom of trousers, you've got this little fold, that like this turnip, and that is where bomb dust settles, in that little turnip at the bottom of the trousers.
Yeah.
And all the good stuff's on the outside of the body. You know, how people button their clothing, you know, how people put on their belts, the laces that they tie. You know, did you tie your own laces or did someone else tie your laces? Because the knot is different if you tie your own lace versus if someone else ties your shoelace. And if you put your own belt on and if someone else puts your belt on, it's different. And we have to notice all these little things in forensic pathology.
And what about suicide versus murder?
All right, so the classic example I gave from my book Autopsy, so for example in hanging, like there's a secret of the masters that we look for in a hanging case. So before you even begin with the autopsy, we look for one specific clue on the clothing. And that is, and if you haven't seen this, and if you don't think about it, this will be totally invisible to the public, and that is a dried rivulet of saliva. So if there's a little trail of saliva on the clothing, that means that the person was alive at the time of hanging. Whereas if there's no saliva trail, then it could be murder, because the person's dead and then was hanged, and then there's no saliva. So everything, all the good stuff, is on the outside of the body in forensic pathology. And it takes like a meticulous attention to detail of the clothing before you even start the autopsy.
Do you have to understand psychology to do what you do successfully? I mean, it's quite a holistic approach to looking at a body, isn't it?
So forensic pathologists, we determine how people die, as opposed to why. Why is for the psychologists and the criminologists and the sociologists. My focus is how people die. So I can tell you how they die. Why, that you'd have to speak to a psychologist, etc. However, to be a forensic pathologist, you have to study medicine and then you have to specialize. We study many, many years. And obviously, in studying medicine, you learn about humans and how they tick. So you get an insight into that kind of stuff.
And is it quite exciting? I mean, do you get all wound up when you know that you're onto something and the fact that you could actually put somebody behind bars?
Well,
what you do?
Look, I'm an academic, so you know, I'm fascinated. I'm curious about what's happening in the world just from my autopsy table. So I can tell you a lot what's happening in the world just from my autopsy table. I can tell you if a new gang has moved into the neighborhood, if there's a new and emergent drug or disease, all this without even leaving my mortuary. So I'm an academic. So I've been trained very well into this field. I'm more concerned about people that are suddenly thrown into this field without the proper training. Because that's critical, because how you go into something in life is very, very important. So if you just throw someone in the deep end, you know, there could be trouble. However, if you trained very well and carefully, then you see the field for what it is, scientific.
And tell us about some of the lessons you learned about having to put somebody in a freezer for a couple of days and a swollen body in a hospital ceiling.
All right, well, look, so autopsies, it's an advanced discipline, and the field that you're discussing there is called thanatology, which is the science of the determination of time since death. So we have to learn, you know, when a body dies, like obviously it decomposes, and we can get that body in any stage after death. So you can catch it an hour after death, a week, a month, a year, 5 years, 10 years. And all that decomposition, you have to know what is happening. And like to the general public, this will look like a mess, you know, but we know this is the normal process of decay. And then through all this, we have to look for the signs of the actual murder or accident or suicide. So we've got to find out what the data is amongst all the noise. So it takes a lot of training and discipline and practice to be able to solve the case.
I'm sure. And the relationship advice that you have gleaned from the autopsy table, what's that?
I thought this was, quite insightful. So I wrote this for my book because, look, we deal with unnatural deaths. And, you know, the body speaketh with miraculous tongue. Mm. So, I wrote in my book that, before you date or marry someone, you should, perhaps see them angry. You should see them drunk. You should see what they spend their money on, and you should see how they spend their leisure time. Those four things. Because once you know those four things about someone, I think you get to the core of a person's soul. I mean, how they are angry, how they are drunk, what they spend their money on, and how they spend their leisure time. Once you know those four things, there's nowhere left to hide.
All right. And the best way to die? What have you learned from that?
Look, I wrote in my book, the quickest way to die. So the best way to die, I think, would be, that's for the hospice people and the palliative care people, you know, obviously painlessly. But I was speaking in my book about the quickest ways to die. Mm. And I wrote there that one of the quickest deaths you can have would obviously be nuclear, followed by lightning. Lightning, you won't hear it, feel it, see it. I mean, you'll drop like a sack of potatoes. Sniper, gunshot wound to the back of the head with their own weapon. I think that would be immediate. And then obviously there's other, because death is a process. It's not actually an incident. So, you know, if even in a guillotine, there's still cells that are alive and cruising through your legs while you're decapitated. So death is actually a process. It's not an incident. So, and like jumping into an active volcano or a massive heart attack or pulmonary embolism, these are very quick deaths, whereas other deaths are more slow and there's an agonal period, etc. So I discuss the quickest deaths in my book, Autopsy.
I'd love to know your pickup lines, Ryan. Thank you so much for talking to us. A fascinating human you are indeed. And if anyone wants to get hold of their book, they should buy it. It's called Autopsy. Very good to have you with us this morning. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.